I can't wait to see them all over again either.
Tell your mama you love her.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for being a constant source of inspiration for me. Aww. Sable is a classy diva, and I represent the finest.
That's right. You better work it.
Thank you, mom. Thank you. And I represent all the love and support that I get from my family, so thank you for that.
You just best. Like I say, work. And you know you got the Queen of Hearts on my birthday, right?
I did. I just told him that.
She just mentioned it, girl. How exciting.
Of course. When he was telling me what day it was, I said, you know, that's my birthday. That's my birthday present. You better get up on that stage and work it like you never worked it before.
Well,
and she did, girl. She sure did.
I know, because I saw the video. And I said, you better make sure somebody videotaped everything.
The threats.
Well, Patricia, thank you so much for taking a moment and calling us here at House of Pride Radio. I think it's fabulous.
That's so sweet. I love it.
You have a good evening over there in Tampa.
Okay, I sure will. It's nice and warm. It's like 70-some degrees right now.
Oh,
right.
I'm jealous. Everyone say goodbye to Sable's mom, Patricia.
We'll see you in September.
Of course.
Bye, bro.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
That was
one look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
Your arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I'll go where you lead.
Come on, baby.
Always there in time of need.
And when I lose my will, you'll be there to put me.
All right. That was a nice touch, Pearl.
I loved that.
Patricia on.
I love support her parents, Pearl. That's wonderful. You
listen, when she comes, because my birthday is September 26th, mm-hmm. So she'll be coming out for that weekend. Unfortunately, it's also Folsom weekend. But we won't take her to those events, but mm-hmm. she's going to come out and celebrate with us in late September.
is your dad still alive?
Yeah, they're still married, actually. He is a proud Southern South Georgia man. That's where I get a lot of my Southern influences from.
Was he listening, do you think?
Taking
Dad,
a nap.
What's your dad's name?
His name is Sam.
Sam.
Yeah, that's my actual name. Sable's name is not actually Sable.
Oh, so you were a junior like me.
No, I'm actually a third.
A third.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyways. So back to what we were talking to earlier. You have a fun event coming this
My
weekend.
Goodness. I've been working really hard on planning this event. I really wanted to make sure I made a great impression with the Ducal Council, especially being a new title holder just this past February. So I'm planning an event as the Queen of Hearts. It's called the Queens with Hearts, like what I did there. It is a fundraiser benefiting our friends over at Magnet, or Strut, as they are known as now. And it's going to be at the Mix on May 7th, which is this Saturday. At 3 p.m., we are having an all-star cast of performers. Unlike many other Ducal events, this is not an open show. I have a set cast of queens and kings that are going to entertain the crowd so we can raise the most amount of money for this beneficiary. One of which is including our new newbie in Pride, Queen Pearl Tease, will be there.
I can't wait. I'm a former, so I had to come out. I was like, I will definitely be part of
it. Yeah, former Queen of Hearts. That's pretty fantastic. BB Sweetbriar, Ronnie Nothingmore, Olivia Hart will be coming through. Pearl Tease will be there, co-hosted by Ruby Red Monroe.
Oh, nice.
Our Prince Royale, Mad Dog 2020. Our Princess Royale, Miss Shigana, who just won first runner-up at Star Search.
Yes.
So, listen, I wanted to bring my big guns for this.
Right.
We are prepared to show out on the back patio at the Mix, honey.
Right. It's going to bring some new stuff out, girl.
I like the Mix. That's a good venue.
Yeah.
So you guys come this weekend. It's on Saturday.
Yes.
And the Mix is at 4086 18th Street. Sorry. 4086 18th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Right by 18th and Castro. Come out. The showtime starts at 4?
Yeah, so the event is at 3. We're going to have huge, huge raffle prizes to be giving out. So make sure you come at 3 o'clock to start getting your raffle tickets, because after each performer, we're having a raffle drawing. We're not wasting time. We're not doing one big raffle block.
Right.
So make sure you're buying those tickets all afternoon. And, of course, without any fundraiser, we're going to have our Jello shots.
All right.
Gotta have those Jello shots.
You gotta have the Jello shots, baby. And we have our friends over at Hot Cookie. You're gonna be giving some snacks from some cookies and some things of that nature. So it's gonna be a great time. I really recommend you all make time in your schedule to do that. Come to that event.
I love it. Now, there's no cover to even get in.
No. No cover to get in. We are having a $10 beer bus if you're interested in that. Otherwise, they have two bars, one on the outside patio, one on the inside when you first walk in. But it's going to be a fantastic time. Make sure you bring your dollar bills, fives, tens, twenties, 100s.
And your friends to get in on this also.
That's exactly right. Each one, bring one. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Now, where can our listeners just follow what you're doing even after this?
I would love if you would follow me on Facebook. Just search Sable Jones. You'll find me there. Instagram, I am Sable Jones _SF. Also, you can email me for performance bookings or fundraising ideas at sablejonessf@gmail.com. My phone number is 867-5319.
She's looking for a mate.
She said, here's my phone number, girl. Take it down.
Now, if you're with me and Ruby right now in the streets, you'll know I actually get my phone number out on the bus.
I can't.
I'm sorry. Get excited.
Oh, no, girl.
Shout out to Ruby Red Monroe, our co-host for Saturday.
Hey.
Hey, Ruby. All right.
Well, let's bring Hollywood in here. No, what? Not Hollywood. Oh, gosh,
girl, have the fabulous marijuana with us.
Marijuana.
She's a little she forgot who's it.
Right, girl. She's a little special. Sometimes you have to forgive her.
Okay, aren't we all?
Sable, who's DJing that event?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's
shout out to our fellow DJs.
Our DJ is going to be Mark White. I think he's on staff over at The Mix.
Yes.
Right? It was going to be Element Eclipse, but he had to go out of town unexpectedly. So we're going to bring in Mark White to be spinning the DJ tunes in the booth for us.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Hopefully the microphone works.
Marijuana, I love your t-shirt.
Thank you, darling. Straight pride, okay?
All right, Marijuana. So where are you originally from?
I grew up in Virginia, but I came here by way of Chicago, and I say that I am from Chicago because that's where she was born. So.
All right. Now, how long have you been here in the city?
I moved here back in July, and it's been quite a year. Excuse me, let me remove the southern drawl.
Oh, girl, keep it, girl. Tweeka keeps her accent. You can keep yours.
Okay.
Just let it hang out, honey.
Oh, girl, trust and believe, okay?
And what does that tattoo say scrolled across
your... Some bullshit in Icelandic. Sunt varia at elifu. I mean, some shit lasts forever, and, like, everything else is MasterCard, so... Stack it up, girl. Stack it up.
I love it. Now, are you a performer?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. In fact, we are going to be over at Daughter on this Saturday over at Oasis. There's mother and daughter.
I didn't know there was a daughter, girl.
Oh, girl. And she had a child. Heclina gave birth. And be careful, because they are fierce and they will eat their way out of that.
I love it. So tell us.
Like a little alien.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, 426, y'all. Just happened.
So tell us the difference between mother versus daughter.
Well, I mean, obviously, I by no means a spokesperson for this show. But so you got mother, right? And it's like the girls that can really work it and have proved it. And then to quote the bill, mother. And then you got daughter, and it's like the future of drag. Is she trying to bring people that are a little bit newer to the scene, give them a stage,
okay.
give them an opportunity to get in that room?
A little wet behind the heel.
You know, or just, you know, not enough cum holding up that wig.
Yeah,
right.
You know that.
Duct tape.
Yeah, duct tape. Yes, that's it.
So you're doing that show when?
That's going to be this Saturday, and it's like 10 o'clock, I think.
Are you the daughter or the mother?
Oh, definitely the daughter.
All right, girl, you're working. Mm-hmm. Now, marijuana, where does that name derivate from?
I mean, draw your own conclusions. I mean,
oh,
what
I see.
Does she
is
do?
It as obvious as it sounds?
I mean, I just.
It looks.
Girl.
Are you stoned now?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Ooh! I love that answer.
I have some chips. Would you like some?
Yes, darling.
Okay, you see stone.
Proof now, positive, y'all.
Now, what? How would you describe your style of drag for those of you that haven't seen you? Because I think you're still fairly new to the city.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, girl. I've just been here since July. Yeah. I don't know. The first word that everyone wants to say is flat-chested because I refuse to wear a pair of tits.
Okay.
Really?
You know, okay. She got a good beat. And I don't know.
Do you shave your chest?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
I was going to say,
oh, so hairy. So.
Yeah, no, well, you just got to wear the one with, like, a top neckline, and you're good.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, well, I'm currently involved with the Imperial Court. I'm the reigning Miss Cowgirl, so
all right.
I make a lot of jokes about taking...
Are you Miss Cowgirl?
Yeah, do you hear that?
I heard that, and that sounded really guttural.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, practice.
Inspiration.
Inspiration, yes, as they say. Yeah, and so I've been running with the Imperial Court. I got that about, like, December, and I just... As I said, I had my little fundraiser on 420. Thank you for everybody that was there. And, you know, and then, you know, she's just been performing around the city.
All right. Now,
as a Cal representative, what are some of your duties?
Well, my duty is to duty. We are ambassadors to the community. And also, like, in my own piece about it, it's like you want to be... You want to build within the community, you know what I mean? And have a structure and have something that, like, gives people a platform. Because we all come from places where, or at least not me, I come from a place where there's, like, no platform. And it's just like, well, if you aren't, like, this, like, person, then you don't got shit. And so I enjoy being part of organizations that give people platforms and to let them raise themselves up. It'd be special.
Yeah. I love that.
Meow. Well, that was my impression. Is this the intro to Mita's Murder? I can't.
That's your new theme music. Whenever you get your own show, this dude is going to play all the cows mooing in Indiana for you.
Yes, yes, as they are liberated from the farm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Into my loins come all cattle.
Now, how can our listeners follow you?
I'm on Facebook, of course. You know, every girl is. M-A-R-Y space W-A-N-N-A-H. Ah.
I love that.
Thank you.
Now, how long have you been... entertaining or doing drag for?
I have been beating this mug since, about a year and a half, I'd say. And this is, yeah, about a year and a half I've been doing drag.
A baby.
A baby. Miss Sable, you going to adopt me? I'm just so, well, actually, that's the whole thing is my whole experience of drag, people talk about drag houses and shit. The people that, I mean, the person that inspired me to get into drag, she describes herself as a drag orphan. The person who brought me out to my first drag show also, like, didn't have that sort of, like, house structure to her. And then my sister, June Ajitois, who is tearing it up in Chicago, I'm just going to say.
Hey, girl.
She and I are just drag sisters, and, like, we don't need a fucking house. We don't need a house. We, like, we have each other. And,
not
like,
yet, anyways.
You know, I mean, we have our empire.
You're happy with the pasture in the backyard.
Yes, girl. And I, like, eat all that grass. Don't mow it, honey.
And not to cut you off, but that is probably the beautiful thing about... San Francisco as it stands, coming from where I'm from in the South, listen, you're in a house. And if you're not booked anywhere. Whereas here we have all types of drag represented in all the same shows.
Yes.
A great example is this Sunday at Balançoire for Femme Fatale Brunch that I'll be performing in.
Oh, really?
We have every spectrum of drag represented at that brunch. And it's fantastic to see it all come together. And the crowd just lives for girl after girl after girl because they're all so different. And that is San Francisco to me.
They're different, but they're also very high-end and polished, I would say.
Listen, let me tell you something. Being different does not mean you can be less than amazing.
They're amazing. They bring it.
Yep.
There. I will say that.
I'm going to say, like, girls like Abominatrix, Johnny Rocket, Emilia Monroe, Natalie Ray. These girls are some of the regulars there at Balançoire, and they are so incredibly different, but they are amazing performers.
Yeah, because Pearl Pease is a rotates
Pearl
in and
Tizzle.
Out pretty good.
Is that what they call
it? Now that's not great.
Oh. I think your homegirl, I think it's Poyle DeMar who calls you.
Oh, there. I
think your name is Perliqua.
No, we are not.
Well, is that what she calls you? Well, and your name, and actually the name of cow are for you.
What about Pearl Teenie?
Speaking of cows.
Right. No, she didn't. This is an actual woman named her cows after us.
Yeah, y'all hear that?
What kind of, what's your cow name?
No, she, there's a cow that's named after me.
Pearl the cow.
Perliqua, yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. Pearl the cow, Perliqua.
The unofficial name of Pearl Tees is Perliqua Jones.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from.
How about the unofficial name? All right. Well.
Yeah. But no, but that's what I was saying was to get off. But San Francisco is not just one type of drag or expression. We have pageant queens, bearded queens, artistic queens, imperial queens, camp queens. We have the whole gamut, and they're all.
You got the sisters, girl. Up
don't forget. How dare I forget the sisters of perpetual indulgence, baby. Yeah, we have everything here, and it's well represented.
Yes, you don't have to be locked in the house. Per se.
But it is amazing. Don't be a hater, marijuana.
And it's okay to be locked up, you know.
Shady as hell.
Folsom is coming. Folsom is coming.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Break those chains, children.
Tuka's going to start preaching.
Right.
Let's take a musical break. We have guests in the green room. I think I saw Marcy Playground out there.
Oh,
hey, girl. And who else do we have, Pearl?
I don't know the other guests, girl.
They're not here yet.
He's He went right outside.
Sam.
Oh, well, we'll be back right after
Samuel's
this
here.
Break.
We're going to get a little political up in here as well. We'll be right back. We can dedicate this song to marijuana.
Oh, hi.
Why'd you come in here looking like that in your cowboy boots and your painted on jeans? All decked out like a cowgirl's dream. Why'd you come in here looking like that? Here comes my
Indeed, you're listening to House of Pride Radio, Tweek Turner.
And Pearl Teeth.
Wow, that was fun with marijuana.
And Miss Sable Jones.
Out there in the green room hanging out. You guys, that's fabulous. Yay. And guess who walked in? I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
Marcy Playground.
All right. Hey, it's Marcy.
Here before the cast show. Yay.
I love when people just drop by House of Pride located at 2781 21st Street, corner of Florida. Come on in anytime.
And if you didn't understand that, that was 21st in Florida.
Oh. Yes, 2781 21st Street.
Yes.
At Florida.
There we go. There we go. I think they could have understood that one, girl.
Where are our posses? Come call us. We need phone calls. 415-550-0511. What's going on, Marcy?
Not much, just hanging around, getting high.
How's life? Oh, you must know marijuana then.
Of course, she's my great, 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 great granddaughter.
Hey, so how's life treating you, girl? How's everything going?
Pretty good. I just went to the park after going to get some Chinese food, so I sat on top of the hill with nobody there, thank God, and just saw the view and
was it spiritual?
Yes, because there was men running by. Yeah. They do that loop. Now I also call the cash loop. By the edge, the Fruit Loop. We used to walk around there and have sex.
That's Collinwood Park, that grassy baseball field area.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Have you ever had sex there back in the day?
Oh, hell yeah.
You have?
Yeah, I was a Kessler kid before all these other kids.
Now it's nearly impossible to have sex there. The lights go on and there's no trees.
Yep, yeah, I guess you got to take that home.
Got to take the trade home.
But the dogs still can.
Where?
The dogs. There's a little dog park. They're always...
Yes, but they lock that up after 9:30.
Well, there's still ways to get in.
How?
There's sliding of the gates and whatnot.
But there's they put a lock pad on that. Have you tried?
Because all they do is take the bolt and loosen it up to where the thing slides.
All right. Well, you heard it first here, House of Pride. All your cruising sexual compulsive people out there listening to us, now you can find a place to do it in the Castro by sliding that lock.
Yes, sliding the lock.
Did you... 4 minutes. That's all you have to have sex there before the lights go on. Yeah, it's on a timer.
That's if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd get in trouble.
All right. Well, you go, girl. Now, are you the queen of that sexual park there?
No.
Do you have a chair? Do you put a chair there?
Well, we used to right at the top of the hill next to the Harvey Milk Institute. Mm-hmm. Before I knew it was a school, there's that little block, and I used to sit there and watch all the people go around.
Yeah.
Now, Marcy, it's a very good place to watch people.
All right.
So you have
She's a watcher.
Huh? What events do you have coming up lately?
Nothing very much. I'm basically saving my energy.
Yeah.
I'm part of Crew to Kink, so we do a monthly fundraiser. I think the fundraiser is going to be at the Edge on the 22nd from 4 to 7.
Yes.
Okay. And who's the beneficiary?
This year was Jazzy's Place for LGBT queer youth. And we're still deciding on who's next year.
Fabulous. What time does that event start?
4 until 7.
4 to 7.
With Jello Shots and drag queens and whatnot.
Jello Shots.
All right.
Jello Shots.
So that should be fun.
All right.
Now, where can our listeners follow you online?
Well, I'm on Facebook.
At Collinwood Park.
Yeah. Well, I'm always either in the cast show or at Spark or at my place. But other than that, Facebook, Marcus Motto, because of the face name or face change. Name change.
Now
I had to go Motto Mark.
You used to party, right? You're not sober.
I do medical marijuana and I drink. That's it.
What's your drink of choice?
Vodka and ginger ale. It used to be Long Island iced teas.
Oh.
Oh, really?
And I used to have five
in an hour.
In a night.
Yeah. And an evening.
On top of the coke and all that stuff.
On coke. Crystal meth.
Yeah, when I started drag.
Fabulous. Now, where are you at now? Is the coke and crystal gone?
Yeah, I don't do this. I think 5 years now.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
I just got tired of it, and then my teeth started falling out. So every time I wanted to, I was just like, I ain't going to have another tooth fall out.
Girl.
Right. Yeah. I heard that, girl.
I'm still working on stuff.
Yeah. Well, we go back. We've done drag together in some shows, and it's always fun
to
be associated with you. Mm-hmm. Don't we go way back to that place on Polk Street?
The Cinch.
Yes, the Charlie Horse with
Anaconda.
Oh my God, that's where I first met you.
And then I had my own show there, which was the Marcy Minute for a while, like a couple years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That was fun.
Lot's changed though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So the new place I like to hang out is Toad Hall. It has a big, nice patio and everything. So
what?
It does have a patio.
I love any place with a patio, girl.
And they play videos, and it's a nice atmosphere.
I forgot about that patio. And who does
Jones?
one of our friends does the show on Monday. Is it Con? No, it's
Camel Toe.
Yeah. I love her. Oh. Camel Toe. Yes, Camel Toe does a show there on Mondays. Yes.
For RuPaul's Drag Race. And then she has a drag show afterwards. Mm-hmm. Which is really fun.
Fabulous. All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Where are you going off to now, Toad Hall?
I'm just going to chill for a while and get my pre-drink on.
Pre-drink. Right. Yeah. We used to have a little bar-y thing. Remember back in the day when,
that's right, girl.
When we had a budget? Man. Yeah.
I always bring my own.
Oh, you have your flask with you?
Well, yeah.
All right.
I make sure that I always can make my Jesus juice because you never know what kind of mood.
Right.
Well, Pearl.
Emergencies.
I know. Pearl, we're going to send her out to the green room so she can get a juice on.
You know.
Yes, definitely.
Take a short right, musical Martin. Break, and then we're going to get a little political up in here.
Let's do it,
all right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Family here at House of Pride Radio playing live instruments. We got Sable Jones out there on the stage in the green room performing.
Got
Mary Juana showing us why she's still the daughter. Have a seat, lady.
Oh my God, that was a read.
That was a little shady, but it was with love here at House of Pride Radio. Love everyone. Again, if you want to call us, 415-550-0511. I'm with my famous diva drag co-host.
Girl, she's not famous. She's
there.
One good round.
She
infamous.
Won Miss
Nubian.
Miss Nubian.
Nubian.
Miss yes. Nubian Pride Girl.
Infamous.
I love that.
What does Nubian stand for?
Nubian is like... It's kind of... It comes from like African heritage, mostly Egypt. And... I forget the other one.
Ethiopia?
Egypt and Ethiopia, yes. Mostly Egypt and Ethiopia.
It's are like you beautiful.
From Ethiopia?
No.
Girl,
not that
no.
I know
from Egypt.
I could be. It's really hard for African Americans to know like where in Africa,
it's true.
Africa
it's true.
They're from.
Where are you from yeah. in Africa? Where, what your true lineage is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult. So it's possible. It's very possible.
I think so.
It's really hard for our listeners to know who the hell is talking. We just cycled in a new...
Yeah, girl. So, all right, you guys. We have a completely new cast in the room with us. We have the fabulous... I'm going to get it right this time. Galvo.
Three syllables.
Right?
Galvon.
Oh, girl, I can't say all that.
Yeah, you can.
Samuel Galvon.
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 And his partner in crime, Jacob Salvachup, who introduced...
Salvachup. I love these
Savage.
Names.
Savage. Right? Savage.
I'll go with Salvachup.
That's a pretty good one.
Savage.
He's responsible for the trumpet intro that. There.
And
we are family.
We have the fabulous Woo-Woo Monroe in the house.
Yay!
It's been so long.
It's been way too long.
Well, that's because you're so busy. What a blessing to have you pop in here.
I am crazy busy.
So this is going to get interesting, Pearl, because in a way they're connected. You wouldn't think, but when we get into their stories, you'll see. So why don't we start with Sam? Why are you here?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Michael.
Tweaker. Wait a minute. We're going off.
Character. Well, I'm here to represent and support Jacob and Concern. I'll let Jacob talk about
sure.
Concern.
Concern is a organization that operates here in San Francisco.
Yeah, so Concern is a... it's an alternative to 911 for mental health crises, homelessness issues, and substance abuse issues. So we're based in the Tenderloin right now, although we are rapidly expanding out into Soma and the Mission. And the idea is instead of incarcerating and hospitalizing people who have really underlying mental illness, we try to compassionately respond and empower them to get their own support and go through treatment, kind of build their own service plan to feel like they have a sense of self-worth. San Francisco is like a city that's frequently dehumanized the homeless population. And I mean, there's so much wealth. And so something's screwed up if we can't figure out how to redistribute the funds to give everybody a place to go to the bathroom, a place to lay their head at night. So.
And there's quite a bit of homelessness in our city. I think, is the number in the 6,000 range? 7,000, Sam?
It's approaching 7.
Yeah, and it depends how you look at it, because there's people on the street, and then there's also people in SROs and people who
in
will
shelters.
Argue that sometimes mm-hmm. the conditions inside are worse.
Right. Now, Sam, you work with an SRO program called?
Community Housing Partnership.
Fabulous. And how did you guys meet?
Jacob and I met through a fellow, Greg, and through High. I met High actually at SF General. I was escorting a tenant, and he was there as a chaplain. And High is a responder with Concern.
And this is High Carroll, for those of you who know him, and lots of you probably do.
Mm-hmm. Hi. And so he told me about Concern. He took time out of his day, his busy day, to inform me about Concern, told me about what Jacob was doing, and I was interested, and so we connected there, and then we connected a couple of days later at an event at the Castro Theater with Shaka Singur, right?
Yeah.
Who wrote Righting My Wrongs, which is about prison reform in this country.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been with Concern?
So I started Concern 2 years ago.
You started Concern?
Yeah, I did. And that was after... I was very close to becoming a police officer in Palo Alto. I was riding around with the police in Palo Alto for 6 years, wearing a uniform and bulletproof vest with a radio, you know, really thinking I was going to be a cop. And it wasn't until I had this unfortunate realization that we have this way of criminalizing people with mental illness. And they get stuck in this revolving door, which is ineffective.
Tell me about it. During the day, you guys, I work for mental health clients, right? So I deal with going into psych units all the time, and I see the people that are in and out of there that often need help that just don't have services out there to help them stop the cycle. Mm. Mm-hmm.
There's something called the buffer zone that I just heard described to me, which is the idea that in the prison industrial complex or even in some mental health service provider arenas, there's this incentive to keep people at the baseline, but not to necessarily rehabilitate them or solve the issue. So like in the prison population, prison unions want repeat offenders. They want that customer loyalty. Mm. So what's the baked-in incentive for prisons to actually heal and restore? The police department didn't work out for me. I didn't want to be a cop, but I found in Eugene, Oregon, they're running a program called the White Bird Clinic that sends out crisis workers to police calls, mm-hmm. like mental health crises, homelessness issues, substance abuse issues.
Wow.
They don't go to armed robberies, but that's what right. police are there for in the right. first place. So mm-hmm. they divert police towards the types of calls the police really should be handling. And I thought it was too good to be true until I did a ride along with them. And it was absolutely the most ideal public safety scenario you could imagine. So I decided it's time to bring that concept to the rest of the world.
Right, because I, from my personal experience, a lot of police are not trained to deal with mental
illness.
People that are mentally ill.
Will, can we talk about this?
I would love to talk about this. It's funny because I come here on House of Pride Radio as a performing drag queen in the Bay Area, but I'm actually a deputy sheriff in real life, and well, in my alternative life,
right?
I shouldn't say real life because drag is real life too,
right?
But
girl, that's real.
So it is. It's very true. The psychiatric underlying current that when we as a nation started criminalizing mental illness. A lot of those people that we used to help in a clinical way, we kind of pushed out onto the street, and those people transitioned from being mental health patients to inmates, and in the penal system, and mm-hmm. it's a really sad thing in our society, and unfortunately, I'm glad to hear things like what you're doing and what other municipalities are actually trying to incorporate are actually starting to work. That's a good sign. It's a really good sign.
Do you see like a fair population in the prison system that have mental illness?
Our mental health population has increased probably tripled in the 17 years that I've been a deputy sheriff.
How are you equipped to handle that?
We're given training, but it is very minimal in training. I mean, the majority of our training goes towards true law enforcement, dealing with
perpetrators,
bank robbers, and
right.
and. You know, domestic violence perpetrators and child molesters, and those are the cases that we are really trained to deal with. We're given a certain amount of training for mental illness, but obviously that isn't sufficient for the population that we have to deal with.
All right. Yeah.
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 You know, one thing I'd say to that is, so Sam, where are you a deputy?
In San Francisco.
Okay, so yeah. You work in the jails?
I do.
So SFPD is extremely progressive in the sense that they're trying not to get all of their officers through that 40-hour CIT training. But I was talking to some officers the other day about just this fact that, you know, the biggest disadvantage for an officer showing up to a mental health crisis, even if they're the most compassionate, loving, kind, gentle person, is they're wearing a badge and a gun. And those symbols are so triggering to people. Mm-hmm. So no matter who you are behind mm-hmm. the badge, if you're wearing it, it's an automatic disadvantage to try right. to de-escalate the situation.
Right.
And
I mean, you brought up a good point. There was a time where mental illness patients, there would be facilities that would treat mental illness. Where did those facilities go? Why did that disappear?
Ask Reagan.
They're there.
They're there.
Except, oftentimes, you go to jail first before going to get 5150.
Picked up on the streets, yeah. thrown in jail,
and then maybe you're diagnosed in jail. Maybe. If not, you're just shuffled in and out of jail streets, never getting...
Unfortunately, for long term, you have to commit a serious crime to be even considered for long-term mental care, mental health care. And the only mental health care facilities that we have really left in the state are long-term
Napa.
Mental health care facilities that are built for mental, mental health people that have committed serious crimes due to their mental illness. Mm.
So, Jacob, are you really putting the blame in the 80s on the Republican administration?
No. Okay. I wouldn't say that. I would say it's one of the, to me, and I'm 25 years old, so I don't have the historical context that others might, but to me, it just seems a little bit blameless. And it's hard to point fingers at one source for what's going on right now. There's a lot of people pointing fingers at the police. They're kind of an easy target.
A very easy target.
Especially you, Woo Woo.
Especially you can't win. In law enforcement, you're probably a target. And outside, I mean, you're kind of stuck in the middle. There's people camped out outside the Mission Police Station right now. And I admire the perseverance and the effort. But something that I see when we're out in the street is that SFPD really appreciates what we're doing. Mm. And they can be huge allies to us. When they respect what we're doing, we respect what they're doing.
So you're working in a partnership, per se.
I mean, we're building a partnership.
Do you have a main? Are you guys leaving Green Room? No. Okay. Are you? Do you have a main, like sort of like a facility?
Yeah, we were just given access to a space in the Tenderloin, 375 Eddy Street. Mm-hmm. It's the Indo-Chinese Housing Development Corporation. I think that's what it's called.
And again, your organization is called Concern.
Concern. That's spelled CONCRN.
Now, how can we find information about Concern online?
Yeah, so it's concern.org. And we also have a mobile app, so Concern in the App Store or Google Play. You can use that app to make a report of someone in crisis. And we also have a text number. You can text 415-881-8278. To report a crisis.
So what are some of the resources that Concern needs from the city of San Francisco right now?
Leave
us alone.
Leave us alone. Yeah. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Are there roadblocks being put up?
Not quite. We
prefer.
How would you guys compare to Mobile Crisis?
Sure. So Mobile Crisis called us today to respond to the Mission because they only have one van. They don't have the staff. We love Mobile Crisis. They take a lot more money to run. We have a lot of volunteers out on the street, so our response time is potentially a lot less than Mobile Crisis.
Could you, Sam, you can chime in too. Could you give us an example, like if you come across, what would be a common situation that you would get involved with?
That's what I was gonna ask.
You want to talk about the incident?
Go ahead.
Well, we were at Phil's Coffee on Golden Gate. And you were there, Tweaker.
Yes, I was having a lovely cup of $7 coffee. And
$4 coffee.
Phil, hello. And then all of a sudden,
Staff went to the bathroom and was knocking on the door. Apparently there was someone in there that didn't want to come out. Finally, that person came out. They realized that their cart and possessions in the cart were no longer there, and this individual started to become a little
agitated.
I think that's probably an understatement. He let out a pretty mighty shriek.
Yes, he did.
Most patrons were alarmed. I was like, oh my God, killed here.
And so he picked up an instrument you know, like those mop signs that say, you know, be careful when wet, you know, slippery when wet. And he picked it up, and that's when staff, like, kind of backed off. And that's when Jacob and I stood up and just, like, made sure, like, everyone was kind of, like, behind us. And someone mentioned to him that there was a cart outside. And so he walked outside. Jacob and I followed. And he was like, where's my stuff? Someone took my stuff, you know, because the cart was empty. And so he was livid. And we just talked to him. We got to know his name. I offered him a cigarette. He took it. He relaxed. He calmed down. And, you know, we just talked to him. And that's all it took to, you know, de-escalate the situation, is for him to feel like he was being heard by someone, you know?
Yeah. And that's just it. We gave him the benefit of the doubt that he is a human being.
Right.
Even though he let out a pretty animal-like shriek inside of Phil's.
Yeah.
And it's just one of these self-fulfilling prophecies.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the cigarette's an important tool somehow.
It can be. Nicotine's powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even smoke cigarettes, but I'll carry cigarettes around on response because it
So
helps.
Folks quitting cigarette smoking, if you have a bunch of stock, bring it over to Jacob.
There you go. American spirits are welcome.
I'm joking. I'm not.
I smoke. That off the record. That's not officially part of the program.
Oh, sorry. Welcome to House of Pride Radio. No, but more importantly, though, so you're diffusing what can be escalating a situation.
Exactly.
Is that one of the main goals that you guys are to diffuse? And then what happens after that?
Right. So preventing unfortunate outcomes, incarceration, use of force, hospitalization. I mean, I don't know if anyone here has been 5150, but apparently one of the most traumatic things.
What is 5150?
5150 is when they deem you incapable
of. You're either harming yourself
or others.
Or you're gravely disabled.
Right.
And being gravely disabled means you cannot provide food or shelter for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when someone is 5150, they're often 5250'd, which goes from a 72-hour hold to a 14-day hold.
Right.
And
that's scary.
It is.
Very scary.
It is.
Especially for someone who is new to the system.
I mean, and also think about it, like, if you're living on the streets, I always feel anyone's, like, five steps from being homeless in the city. You know, it's so expensive.
We live paycheck to paycheck, right?
One and a half.
We live paycheck to paycheck.
It's sketchy. If you get incarcerated for even just 7 days, all your stuff is gone.
Gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People take it.
Just.
So how, Jacob, does your concern put a stopgap in that process?
Right. So the first thing is, you know, we look at everybody on an individual basis. I mean, we don't try to swallow the pill of, like, let's just solve homelessness for 7,000 people. We have interactions with clients every day, and we just look at that interaction as a standalone, like, let's just put everything we can into this one interaction, and we probably can't get this person housing today, but we can bring a little bit more of a feeling of home out to the street.
Do you have resources like housing or food for these people?
So food, we try to bring food out for people. We just got a bunch of clothing and bedding donated, so we can bring blankets out. We call these icebreakers, right? These are things that kind of give us initial fixations to interact with people, and that builds trust and starts a relationship.
So now that you have a facility on Eddy Street, can folks come by with donations?
People can come by with donations. The door's locked, usually during the day. That may change eventually, but they should text the crisis number if they want to drop stuff off, 415-881-8278.
415-821-8278.
There you go.
415 area code right here in San Francisco. We will.
I'm just impressed with this program in general. I mean, it's amazing. You know, so many times people don't realize that when you call 911 about an issue that ultimately becomes a mental health issue, the people that respond to those 911 calls are not trained to deal with true mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're trained to deal with crime issues.
Mm. Right. So they're seeing things through the eye, different eye.
They look at things from a standpoint of what's the safety of the community. This person is you know, holding a knife. This person is screaming and yelling. This person is, and their first concern is for the safety of the community. And unfortunately, I mean, a lot of police officers don't take that step back, which is hard to do when you're trained to deal in a situation where, you know, there's gunfire. Most people run. We run to it.
Mm, right.
You know, that's not a natural instinct. Mm. That's not a natural instinct for when you hear a gunfire to run to the gunfire.
Right.
So it's a completely different mindset, and so many people are very critical of the law enforcement,
especially right now in this city
and anywhere, all over the United States. But it's really a matter of retraining and also developing the resources that we have so that things like crisis can evolve and become something so that when somebody has a mental health
crisis, it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity for you to be called in and to intervene instead of that law enforcement element being involved in it.
So, you know, you work in law enforcement. So looking down the road into the future, do you see a partnership with Concern?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Same thing with the same thing, as far as I'm concerned, is with like detox centers. Mm. You know, places set up as detox centers for people that are you know, have a
substance abuse
issue. Rather than incarcerating those people, we should be sending those people to some kind of treatment center that allows them to, and not everybody is going to be helped by that, but there are a certain amount of people that we could help with that kind of program.
And at least in its attempt.
And and it's not in a custody setting.
Right.
We have treatment programs like that in custody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the effectiveness of them in custody is so insignificant compared to out of custody.
Right. I mean, I think the cons outweigh the pros. I think that you've just touched upon the key element is how to separate being incarcerated with helping people, you know, with mental illness, not to get into the system.
Right. And I see your point that it's not going to help everyone, and some people do need the slap in the face of jail. But when you look at the amount of money saved by opening a detox center...
Right.
And now that's not good for, like, the sheriff's department. I don't know if it would be directly correlated to...
You know, honestly, I would like nothing more than for my job to be eliminated at some point in time.
Wow.
I mean, I'm saying that from a standpoint of being a citizen of the United States. I would like nothing more in this world for my job to be eliminated in this country.
I just hit a woman out front.
We'll be right back after this.
Sorry. Let's take a short musical break. There's some drama.
Did you like the ride? Yeah.
right. We're back live, House Pride Radio. The irony of playing 100% Pure Love by Crystal Waters with the reality of what's going on in Street Pearl.
Right, girl.
We got some live drama right
it's
in
real
the mission.
Out here. Thank goodness Miss Woo Woo was here.
They're all out there now. Our guests left because they're all involved in crisis management to some extent.
I think they're coming back now.
Yeah, we had a little incident out on the street where a guy hit a woman, kind of like a relationship issue going on, and our fabulous guest, Woo Woo Monroe, Sam.
Woo Woo and all of them saved the day, hopefully.
And yes, when they're coming back. But we want to say hi to Intensive Care. Hello.
Hi there.
Sable, thank you for coming in. And
I love you.
Holding
thank you.
The seat. Love you too, honey.
It's not an on
Let the real heroes sit down here, people. Come on now.
There's room for everyone in House of Pride Radio. And we've got to actually wrap it up in like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. Intensive. How intensive is this for you today?
This is actually, I'm a nurse in real life, and so crises like this happen pretty often. You get like crazy family members happening. Ooh, I had no idea you were an officer of the law. I love this little
she's smiling
spin
at me.
On
she's
this.
She got this grin on her face. She's
blushing.
She wants to see me in uniform.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
She wants to see you on a calendar, I think.
And Miss Pearl, I just heard your podcast with Mike Dragmother Pollo Del Mar.
Wait.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, girl.
Well, it's nice having you, Intensive.
Thank you for having me. I have to. Let me preface that by saying that I was on a 45-minute drive down to Redwood City to paint my brother and his friends with Pollo. And you know she took over my airwaves, and she plugged her phone in, and we listened to your whole damn thing on the way down. It was
I know.
That sounds like Pollo Del Mar. Well, where are you now?
Where I am here at 2187 21st Street is where I am right now.
And the name of the show
I'm in the House of Pride Radio, the best radio program in San Francisco.
That's right.
Hi, Tweeka.
Award nominated. When is your next performance?
My next performance is going to be May 14th, actually. I'm doing, I just got Miss Castro Country Club, so I want to thank.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's actually a very big honor for me because it's some way that I can give back to the recovery community.
Sober?
I'm sober, yeah.
We're going to wrap up.
I've been sober for 12 and a half years. And,
and
I, because of our work, the work that we do, our hours are all over the place, and this is something I can actually commit to and do. And right. I'm hosting my first show on the 14th at the Country Club. We're going to turn it into a little cabaret with tables and chairs, and it's actually a Claire Beret. Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
and get you, girl.
Right? For real. Okay.
Love it.
Now, where can we follow you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at Claire is Kirk, and you can also follow me on Instagram at Nurse Kirk, and that all leads back to my Facebook, which is
Kirk
Saris. You know, I don't want to do my drag persona on there yet. Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm big enough yet to have that.
Well, you've got
to. Are you a daughter or a mother?
Actually had two Facebook. I had my George page and my Woo Woo page, and I used my Woo Woo page so much that I just forgot about my
George page. And I know that's what's going to happen.
And then Facebook made me change my name.
Saw that.
So now it's. I have two George Downs pages.
But you
it's sad, really, because I loved the Woo Monroe page. Now you have to kind of like look.
I finally decided to make a professional page. So I have a Woo Monroe professional page for people that I'm not like, you know, close friends with, or people like not connected with the drag community. I have a professional page.
Like a fan page on social media. Okay, fabulous. That's Woo Woo Monroe, W-O-O-W-O-O Monroe.
Spelled like Marilyn.
Of course.
I'm not a daughter of Mercedes.
She got that one in there.
No shade.
I love Mercedes to death. We have this joke going on because I love Mercedes Monroe to death. But every time I do a show with her, they spell my name like hers. And I'm like, I am not her daughter.
That's funny.
I am
you.
Not her daughter. Oh, okay. Everyone else in the San Francisco Bay Area is her daughter.
Oh.
This name Monroe. But I am not.
You are your own house.
I am my own house. House House of Woo.
Yes. House of Woo. Come on, House of Woo.
She got it going on. So it looks like we've got to wrap things up. We want you all back to keep on talking.
Can I tell you one quick thing, Twiga?
No, I'm sorry.
The one thing I came here to talk about, and we got distracted because it was a very important topic.
Yes.
But the one thing I came to talk about is DragCon this weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's right. In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, yeah. Yes. So I actually wasn't going to go to DragCon this weekend. And then I got an invitation by my friend who is one of the operators of Dragaholics.com.
Okay.
And yay, Dragaholic.
Right.
And he asked me if I could host the booth at DragCon, at RuPaul's DragCon.
For Dragaholics? For the Dragaholic booth.
For the Dragaholic booth.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Right.
So
I saw that.
Me
and Aju are going to be hosting the booth on Saturday.
And what are your responsibilities? Do you sell things?
We're just going to be schmoozing.
Looking fabulous.
Looking fabulous and trying to get people to come take a picture and post their picture on social media with the hashtag of Dragaholic. So
finally, you may be able to sell that T-shirt inventory of yours.
Yeah, I wish I could. I'm not going to do that at DragCon because I'm going to be working for Dragaholic. But there, I mean, if you're going to DragCon, come by the Dragaholic booth because
you
take a picture and you post it on either Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag that we give you at the, I don't know what the actual hashtag is going to be.
It's a secret.
I think it's like Dragaholic DragCon. I don't know what the hashtag
is. It's drink me.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Something like that. It's,
drag me.
But whatever the hashtag is, if you tag it, then you're automatically entered each day that you do that into a